I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Hello there, welcome back to another episode of This Song Is Yours, your go-to destination for all things music in 2024. I'm Simon Fink, your trusty host, and today we've got a real treat lined up for you. Joining us on the podcast is the sensational UK indie rock band Everything Everything. They're making waves once again with their mesmerizing new record, Mountainhead. And we've got frontman Jonathan Higgs here to spill the beans on all things album related. Now, in today's episode, we'll be delving into the depths of Mountainhead, exploring the unique concepts and perspectives that inspired the record, and marveling at the breathtaking soundscapes that define it. Plus, we'll also be diving deep into one of the album's standout tracks, Cold Reactor, uncovering its origins and unraveling its mysteries. That is not all. We've also got the inside scoop on Everything Everything's plans for an Australian tour. Now, I must confess, we recorded this episode with Jonathan around Christmas time last year, so details were still being ironed out at the time. However, I'm thrilled to announce that they've since confirmed a co-headline tour with The Vaccines, which kicks off in May. A huge thank you to Peter for helping us make this interview happen. And hey, please make sure to check out the show notes for all the juicy details on how to snag tickets to their upcoming Australian tour and where to get your hands on the record. While you're there, don't forget to follow and subscribe to this very podcast for more music goodness. So let's get into it. Here is our conversation with Jonathan Higgs of Everything Everything. But I got through this evil on my own. I haven't left the house in nearly 30,000 days. I sent you the image of a little yellow face to tell you that I'm sad about the emptiness that's all around me. And I got something ringing. Please welcome to This Song Is Yours from the band Everything Everything, Jonathan Higgs. Jonathan, hello. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm good. Hi.
Thank you very much for your time today. It is very much appreciated. I know that there's plenty going on with the band at the moment. So yeah, I do greatly appreciate your time.
No worries. Happy to be here.
with the release of each album, I know that I think this is Everything Everything's seventh studio record, if I'm correct.
It is. Yeah.
It is. How is the run-up to, I guess, the promo cycle? How do you guys get, when it does come time to release a brand new record, are there still nerves, or is it something that you've kind of gotten used to as the years have gone by?
We've got used to it to the point where that's the only thing that ever happens. Like, I can't wait for it every time it comes around because I'm twiddling my thumbs a lot of the rest of the time. There's all the writing and all that stuff and the recording. And as soon as that's done, there's this big gap where we announce it and it has to get pressed to vinyl, which takes ages, and we're just sort of sat here going, now what? We don't really feel like we're a band during this period. So yeah, I can't get enough of it. I wish we could do it every year.
Well, I know the band, and especially yourself, are very hands-on kind of with some of the other stuff as well, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm trying to just, I in my research, I know that there was probably at least, I want to say more than seven, maybe even more than 10 music videos that you've directed for the band.
I think there's two or three that I haven't directed. So it's more like 30 or something that I have done. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, do you find that kind of helps occupy some of that time and still allows you to kind of stay within the project?
It does. This record differs in that we shot five videos on the same day.
Right.
So that was very good. little session, but then it was kind of like, okay, now what? we wouldn't usually do that. Obviously, no one would, because it's insane. Actually, I think Cliff Richard did it recently because he's old, but we didn't do it for that reason. We thought it would be a good challenge and a way to shake ourselves up a bit. The recent couple of albums have been a very much me twiddling with things like AI and graphics, and we all wanted a sort of return to putting us in front of the camera, using props and makeup and all that kind of stuff, get back to our roots a bit, because we're quite good at that, innovating with no budget type stuff, and we all enjoy it. So we were getting up at dawn and climbing mountains and dressing up and all sorts for these, but we decided to do them all on the same day, which was insane.
That is a very very courageous kind of feat, I want to say. And yeah, as you mentioned, I think Sir Cliff's is probably a time issue thing of wanting to make sure that
yeah, I don't think he can dance for long.
The record that we are talking about is Mountainhead. It is coming out this week, and it is such a brilliant record, I have to say. So congratulations on this as well, because
thanks a lot.
Yeah, such a delight to listen to.
Great. That's good to hear.
With a record like this, I feel like the language that I have to use with this next question is kind of, I have to put it in such a particular way, because I feel like it's not a concept record, but there is a concept to kind of what has inspired these songs, or kind of what the songs are about. And I'm probably going to do a very poor job in kind of trying to summarize this. So please be kind, and I apologize.
Don't worry. It's extremely simple. There is not much, not many ways to go wrong with it.
I'll give it a shot. It was that, I guess, in a world that kind of looks at growth and excess as such a positive thing, when there's no limit, that then that kind of means that there's really no return or no payoff at the end.
Yeah, it's a sort of monolithic idea, in as much as everybody wants to keep growing and keep growing. There's no subtlety to it. It's just, let's literally build this mountain as big as we can go. But it also struck me at the same time that the only way to make a mountain is to keep digging stuff to put in, to put in this pile. And it means that everybody ends up underground in the dark, which is how I feel life is increasingly going in that direction. We're becoming more isolated and staying in our homes. And it felt like a perfect mirror that we're striving to get to expand, but at the same time we're sort of closing ourselves in, and everything kind of came from that core metaphor of the society that wants to build a mountain and all the things that come with it. So you have, it's almost like a religion, and you have certain factions that believe in the mountain and want to encourage everyone to do it, and you have people who are breaking away from it saying, why are we doing this? What is the mountain even for? Why we never get to climb it ourselves? We don't know what's at the top. What could even be at the top that's worth this? So it's kind of stories from a world where that is occurring, which is our world. But in it's a sort of sidestep. It's not like a crazy imaginary world. It's basically our world, but with the satire turned up quite strongly.
100%. I think that some of these songs do touch on things that I don't think are totally out of reach or out of the concept of reality. As you kind of said, it's this thing that it is our own world, and that there are elements of it that are slightly exaggerated, but some that are probably almost pretty spot on.
yeah. That's the strange thing you come into contact with when you're trying to write songs about everyone and everything. Pretty soon you realize that there's nothing much you can say that isn't just about feasible and believable, especially in the last, I don't know, 8 years. Things have happened that are unprecedented. particularly in the political world and just things like having a global pandemic. It's just, it hasn't happened for 100 years, you know. So many things seem possible that were sort of comfortably impossible for most of my life, and then suddenly they're all on the table now. So writing fantastical songs about this world, it's quite easy because this world is insane. It's completely insane now.
That's kind of where I was going to direct the conversation, and it's interesting that you kind of say that it's easy, because I imagine that it does take a certain kind of balancing act to write songs about something like that, because it can be I imagine that there are points, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but there are points where you might look at it and be like, oh great, and it's just kind of despair in a 3-minute, 4-minute pop song, avant-garde pop song. How do you balance that?
Yeah, well, I feel like we did the despair songs. We've made 7 albums, and I've grown from a 24-year-old to a nearly 40-year-old. And my perspective has obviously shifted in that time. I think when we first appeared, yeah, we were talking about hell on earth and despair. And little did we know, things were actually kind of okay then. And things got considerably worse around 2013, 14, 15. And they've just, the ship's never really righted itself in terms of just the general feeling in all around me. Sorry to quote one of my own songs there. it's been very strange, as you would agree. Like, everything has gone fucking mental. Sorry, I've completely gone off the question here.
How do you approach writing those songs and finding that balance?
Oh yeah, well, it's more a question of trying not to just reproduce reality, because it's too. When we first started writing songs, I would be looking at conspiracies and talking about these people on the internet who seemingly no one knows about, and dark forces and all this stuff. Not actual conspiracy, but more like talking about the growth of people who are believing conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Just as one example, and that's become so incredibly mainstream now that you have prime ministers and presidents who are backing up actual conspiracy, or you have someone like Elon Musk who's incredibly powerful just idly feeding it, you know. And there was a time when you could sort of trust the majority of the things that you saw in a day, and now I don't really trust anything, and the things that I do trust are shrinking, and there's doubt about all types of information, and all types of opinion are 1 minute there it seems okay, and then the next you're like, I'm not actually sure. It's the things that were strange when we started a band are so incredibly commonplace now that I have to sort of move my targets a bit. It feels like everyone talks about this now. People say, why don't you make another political record? And I think, well, the idea of adding yet another half-baked opinion, might I add, on the same shit that everyone is talking about into the mix and putting a beat behind it just fills me with so much, like, boredom. You know, there's nothing... I want to get away from politics, if anything. Or find a new way of talking about it, because it's all so scrambled and it's all so noisy and it's all so, like, saturated and overblown and relentless that I just want to kind of escape from it when I experience art or make art, basically.
100%. I think just to add to what you're saying as well, I think that the one incredible thing that everything has always done, to the best of my knowledge and to the best of kind of from an outsider's perspective, is that you guys have always done well in subverting kind of the expectations of what you're writing about, both lyrically and sonically. And so I think that if there's the expectation that you're going to write something that's political, then it's kind of, you're not feeding into exactly. what people expect yeah. you to do. But yeah. yeah, it's a yeah.
Who wants to hear yet another song that sort of lightly bruises the Tories for another round? It's like, I just don't care. I don't give a shit. I'd rather as soon as things started to become more hotly discussed, my mind immediately switched to, right, well, I want to sing about human relationships and life on Earth, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when it quietens down, I'm like, okay, have you noticed what these incels are talking about or whatever? I don't feel compelled, certainly. I don't feel interested. I see politics all day and all night, and I don't just mean what happens in the Houses of Parliament. I just mean ideologies bumping up against each other on the internet at all hours of the day, at high volume, and sort of not an advanced way of debating as well, to put it mildly. And that's happening. That's happening, you know, right now in my pocket to a degree that I could never read in my entire life if I just took one day's worth of it.
It is, yes. The way that you've just put it then, it is kind of a very interesting thought to kind of comprehend and
yeah.
and not get too bogged down on, I think.
Well, people do get bogged down in. People get completely swamped by it, and they get completely trapped by it, and they get trapped in it. And I feel like I used to be like that. I don't know when now, a long time ago, but on the internet I would argue and I would put the caps lock on, you know. And that's just completely pointless, and is that's only increased more and more as more people have come online and more people have congregated. Not to mention the amount of noise there is from artificial bots and people who are trying to troll and all the rest of it, trying to seed ideas that aren't true, or they're trying to rage bait. The amount of rage bait you find now, people that just want engagement of any kind, and it's all negative. Sorry, I'm just ranting now about the state of the internet.
Look, there is nothing wrong with that at all, and I think that a lot of what you're saying, I think a lot of people would agree with. I agree with quite a lot of what you've said already. Mm-hmm. I would love to kind of know, because I imagine that your songwriting may not have always been like this. I know that you started playing music in high school, I think, with some of the guys from the band. Do you remember your first initial attraction to songwriting, and what kind of got you interested in making music and lyric writing?
Well, I mean, I think everyone likes music. Well, most people like music. And it was realizing that it was possible. I think I just picked up my friend's guitar and just played the bottom string, as you do. And I realized that I had made these changes happen in the music that I was hearing, and immediately just wrote a crappy little melody over the top with really stupid words that I will never repeat. but it was just the act of creation. It's like, that's what's attractive about it, is the fact that there wasn't a thing and then there is a thing. But that's true of, I really like creating stuff. I like making animation and video and drawing and painting and photoshopping things, and making music and writing lyrics is kind of the...
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story.
In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One of the most mysterious of all the things you can make. I always come back to the mystery of it. When you draw a picture, it's you're kind of recreating something from reality, or not. But you know, you make a film, and it's you're recreating something that's could happen, would happen. When you're making music, you're making this thing that is seemingly meaningless. It's notes, which we've decided what notes even are, and you're putting them in a pattern and feeling pleasure when the pattern does what you expect and does what you don't expect, and then you're putting rhythm into it, which also doesn't seemingly have a, you know, what is rhythm? What's it for? What does it do? It's nothing. Like, it isn't a thing. And I think that the mystery of music, of like what is it, is makes it the most compelling and the most powerful art form for me.
100%. It's something that I think as these albums have continued to come out from the band, and I want to talk about Mountain Head and one of the singles that's come out, because this track, we were very lucky enough to have a listen to the record before it has come out, so thank you very much for that. I know that this single is out at the moment, Cold Reactor. Just that song is, anyone who's listening to this podcast episode, please go and listen to this record, Mountain Head, and put some good headphones on, because I found that this track, the multiple layers of this song and how it kind of builds and how you've sonically structured it, I think is really fascinating, because it's not just, I think just then when you were talking about like creating music for the first time, it's chords and it's putting things on top. This is a lot of moving parts at once. And I want to kind of know for you and the rest of the band, like how that goes from an idea of a song in your head to the finished version. Like, how do you build a song like that has so many different moving cogs and functions in it?
Well, that song, it's got a pretty simple chord sequence for the majority of it. And I wrote originally, it was like verse, bridge, chorus, verse, bridge, chorus, chorus. And I thought, right, the whole song is in this sort of crescendo to that moment. Especially the double chorus, you're feeling like, whoa, hang on, they're not stopping. And I got there and I thought, I could just end the song, bam, like that. Like you've just, someone's broken in your house and shot you with a shotgun. but they'd move towards you in a sort of crescendo. And then I brought it to the band, and Alex is the other like primary songwriter in the band. And I said, Alex, what would you do here? Do you want to write like a ripping solo over this, or should we have it just cut to just drums, or should it get really heavy? And he took it away, and when he came back, he'd written this sort of melancholy synth stretch of time, which wasn't like really up, and it certainly wasn't down. It was kind of this, it changed the mood of it completely. And he'd also written this string part that slowly rose over the crescendo. So it had this more like Springsteen-y, come on everybody, feel that I'd written. But then he'd made all this sadness and this kind of plaintive outro, which really changed the mood of it and made it into a much more sort of mature, retrospective type vibe, which I think is part of the magic of it. It isn't just a sort of punky pop song. It's got that, and then you sort of get this thoughtful ending, and you get this intricate layering and stepping up to it all the way through. So I think that's probably what happened, was that it was a collaboration. I think if left to my own devices, I probably would have doubled down on that crescendo feeling and just made like a kind of outro, and he stepped back and did something different. So what I did was I collaborated. but really, it's pretty simple in terms of the parts. The bass line's virtually the same throughout. The drums don't change much, but there's a lot going on in the vocal. And I think it's taken me a long time to allow things like a complex vocal with lots of lyrics its own space. When we first started the band, I probably would have had a vocal like Cold Reactor, and then I would have put an insane drum part behind it, an insane guitar part behind it, an insane synth line all at once, and just expected people to sort of consume that at once and go, yeah, that's normal. And while there is a place for that in my heart, and there are listeners for that, I feel more like a lyric, a vocal like that deserves its own room for people to take it in, rather than just complete bamboozlement. Or if you want to have the complex music, maybe the singer can go away for a bit. You know, I believe in much more in sort of highlighting rather than just splurging parts all at once. Also, I think it's harder to construct something like that than just splurge. It's actually quite easy to splurge a load of, you play the fastest, hardest thing you can do, so do you do it, so do you do it. And it's this kind of approach where you're not really thinking about the music, you're just thinking about the individuals doing the best, most weird thing they can. And it's not a collective as much, I think.
100%. I feel like it's almost like an exercise in restraint almost, if you can.
It is. We've been trying to do that since our second album. We've been talking about how to play less, how to restrain ourselves, how to just have a bit more respect for arrangement rather than the opposite, the Pollock approach.
Again, as you said, there are times for that and there are audiences for that. But
when
executed as beautifully as it is on this record, I think it's you've done very well for Mountainhead. I think it has been not on just this track, but on quite a few of the tracks as well. I'm curious to know, I guess now turning them into the live setting for these tracks, this is how do you translate these kind of songs into the live setting and have them have that same impact?
Good question. We're recording this at the end of December. So in reality, we've only played one of these songs live ever at this point. Mm-hmm. So we'll find out in a couple of months how we're going to do some of these songs. There was a time early on in our career where we had to decide whether we were going to try and make albums that we can play live, you know, full stop, or we're going to make albums that we want to make. And we decided a long time ago to make the latter, and then we'll work it out. We'll work out how we do
reverse
this live.
Engineer.
Yeah, exactly. And this is no different. I think there's a good backbone of real things happening. Sometimes we can have a track and it's just a drum machine and a synth, you know, and we don't even have a synth player in the band. And we've got a drummer and a bass player sat there going, but no, there's lots of playing on this, so that's good. And we have a very talented session musician who we've been working with for years, who takes apart our tracks and says, right, well, this will work if John plays this. Alex, you need to play this. I can play this on the keys. We can put this little sound on the track because we can't have that sound from reality, etc. And then Mike's got lots of electronic drums for weird stuff. So we'll get there. But we did try and make sure there was lots of basically real bands in the room sound on this album. Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm sure that when you do go out on tour, it is going to be a treat for fans. I know that I think there's been a handful of dates. As you said, we are currently in the middle of December while we're recording this. I know that there has been, I think, a handful of dates for the UK announced. Look, I might be getting too ahead of myself. We are based in Australia. Can at some point maybe this album cycle, we expect to see you down here?
This is the one with the highest chance. I'll say that much. There is a penciled in Aussie tour right now. in December. It could have already been announced by the time this goes out, or you might never hear anything of it ever again.
If those shows have been announced, we will make sure that they are put alongside the podcast episode and promoed out with that.
Great.
And as you said, if nothing has come of it, we will just kind of leave it in the ether.
We will apologize once again, because yes, we'd love to come down there. We'd love to come down there. It's just a question of making it work. We really want to play everywhere in the world, but Australia, we know we've got a lot of people that want us to come out there, and we love it.
You guys do have quite a fervent fan base here. Even in the lead up to today's interview, I think I mentioned it to about two or three different people from separate kind of groups or genres or music categories, whatever you want to call it, and they were very excited just to hear that there was a new record coming. So I know that it will be well received when you guys, and when and where you do come back down here. So very excited to hear that. Jonathan, we'd usually ask our guests what they're currently listening to. Is there anything at the moment that's kind of high rotation for yourself?
I actually have been listening to Paul Simon's record from about 1989. I can't remember what it's called. It's got a song called Obvious Child on it. It's kind of not quite as good as Graceland, but quite similar. And there's only so many times you can listen to Graceland before you get depressed that you'll never write anything as good as this. So I've been trying to listen to slightly less good Paul Simon for some inspiration. I absolutely love him. I was lying in bed this morning just thinking he's one of the last great songwriters from that era that we've still got. Absolutely love Paul Simon's lyrics and songs. I think he's great.
I did see somewhere recently, as we've said, it's the end of December, so there's lots of year-end lists kind of coming out. I think I might have missed it. Did he release a new record this year, which seems to be getting quite a lot of press?
I don't know. I think he did around 2021-ish, but he may have done one this year. I haven't heard it, but I'm about to look right now.
Well, what fans can do after they listen to our chat and they've checked out Mountainhead, they can go check out some Paul Simon as well.
Yes, please, but do that.
Until that time, Jonathan, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. I do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Congrats on Mountainhead. The album is out this week when people are hearing this, but thank you again for your time.
Thanks for having me. Sorry for ranting.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.